Some of the greatest music makers of our time have had a disability. Disability doesn't stop artists from creating brilliant music. But still today, there are many barriers that artists face. My name is Eliza Hull, and this is Access All Areas, where I give you a pass to learn about what it's like to be a musician with a disability. I have a physical disability, Charcot-Marie-Tooth. I'm also a musician, and throughout my career, I have faced many physical barriers and discrimination. The time is now to begin the conversation about how the music industry can be more inclusive and accessible. Justine Altacci is a Sydney-based singer-songwriter. Justine has been writing music for other pop musicians for many years. She wrote the song Proud, which Casey Donovan performed at Eurovision Australia in 2020. So you can shut me out, but I will stand tall. More recently, Justine has been releasing music under her own name. She's had a string of singles this year, including a collaboration with Atlanta-based producer Poster. Do you see right through me? Will you run at the first sight of sin? See, fate is patient, but time is not a lover's friend. And I stand guarded, cause I was always giving in. Found the last tether, the hope I held close to my chest. Justine Altacci is a person with low vision. She's an APRA AMCOS ambassador and advocates for disability awareness in the Australian music industry. Justine, welcome to Double J.
Thank you for having me.
You're such a beautiful singer and incredible songwriter. How did you begin making music?
Well, I come from a musical family, so my brothers played instruments and my dad was a singer and guitarist, so I grew up around it. And when I was a teenager, I've discovered John Mayer, actually. When I discovered John Mayer, I was like, I want to write music. So I just started kind of singing and playing guitar and just trying to like teach myself how to do it.
How did you start doing that? Like, did you learn piano first or...?
Well, I actually was learning violin for a few years and it was really hard because I'd started quite late. Like I started when I was about 11, I think. So after a few years, I was like, you know what, this is too hard. I'm going to play guitar. I'm going to sing. I'm going to play piano and just kind of teach myself. I knew that I could start writing music once I knew a few chords. And so it kind of just started from there. As soon as I knew like two chords, I was writing a song.
Your music is really soulful and uplifting. Like I remember listening to one of your tracks just recently and having a little dance. what are your biggest influences?
I have such a mix of influences. Like I love disco funk from like the 80s. I love 90s R&B. I love 2000s pop. I love the classic songwriters like Stevie Wonder and Billy Joel, Carole King. So I feel like my inspiration just kind of comes from everywhere. And I guess I love storytelling and just exploring like the emotional experience of humans, like what that is, and trying to kind of get to the crux of it.
So growing up, did you have a disability or is this something that you've acquired later in life?
No. So I have congenital night blindness, which means you're born with it. And I have congenital nystagmus. So where my eyes shake horizontally. And then I have low vision. So I grew up with it, but we didn't actually understand the extent of it until I was a teenager, which I think was probably a blessing in disguise. Just kind of growing up, not feeling limited in any way. But I also think on top of that, there was like two sides to that. It was like, I wasn't aware, so I didn't have limitations, but I also was limited. So then there was a self, being self-critical because of that kind of arose, because of my limitations and not fully understanding why. So it's been quite like a journey growing up and realizing, realizing really what's going on and
I mean, how do you now get to a place like where you know, you're an active member, like as within the disability community in terms of being an APRA ambassador?
Mm.
How do you get to that place? Can you tell me about that?
Well, I think really learning that, like, my experience is just as valid as anybody else's. And I made a friend about 7 years ago, and her name is Delara Earle, and we met through Airbnb. It's just this really random story. But she was traveling at the time, and she is profoundly deaf. And we started kind of – we just clicked straight away, and we started chatting about everything. And we ended up creating a vlog that was about disability and traveling as young women with disabilities. And we found so many similarities in, like, that our experiences, there were so many parallels, and us feeling like we're not disabled enough to validate our disabilities, which is really bizarre. Like, when you say that out loud, it's like, what the hell? Like, of course our experiences are valid. So yeah, I think that was a big thing, a big shift in my understanding and how I can advocate for the big spectrum of what it is to have a disability.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have felt that, and I think a lot of people feel that in all different ways, that kind of imposter feeling, like, am I not disabled enough, or am I, yeah. So I think it's very valid, and, you know, your experience is unique. So, yeah, I feel like that's really great that you are now speaking out about it.
Yeah.
What are the changes that you really want to see in the music industry for people with disability to experience music as audience, and also for artists like us?
I think accessibility for sure. And I think having things like mentorship programs or creating opportunities that make a career path in music more possible for people with certain limitations. I think that's a massive thing. And I definitely feel that there was progress halted for me in my career when I was younger. And I know that I would have, you know, accelerated things if I had had the right support network. So I think that's really important. And I think that is definitely something that APRA is looking more at and considering.
Now we're going to hear a track. What have you chosen for us today, Justine?
Well, I released a single a couple of months ago called Colorblind.
And what is it about?
Colorblind is basically about accepting yourself and embracing what makes you different. And we did a music video, and I collaborated with The Bodzilla, who is a body positive influencer and personality, and she's amazing. And we wanted to, you know, use people from all different diverse backgrounds and put them into this video and celebrate the amazing diversity within Australia. So we collaborated with about eight to 10 different people in the video, and it was all made in lockdown from our homes, and everyone just kind of hopped on board and did, like, these really creative, unique videos. And yeah, so it's been really special releasing that project into the world, and something I'm really proud of.
Amazing. Let's hear it. They tell me this is something missing. Queen of the castle, it's in my hands. Nothing to say is gonna get in my head. I'm gonna break your rules. You can watch me win. I'm not the canvas they paint in a black and white way. That colorblind. Can't you see that I'm ready, babe? And the bones have been made as it washes away. A rainbow. Can't you see that I'm ready, babe? How does having low vision affect your music making? I'd be curious to know in terms of, like, your songwriting, using technology, and also in terms of performing live.
Definitely my vision has impacted how I was able to learn. And I think, like, you know, laptops and stuff now have better accessibility function and, like, Zoom function and stuff. But back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't as easily adjustable to certain needs. And so I definitely think there was gaps in my learning, or, like, a slowed progress, which has been quite frustrating in terms of trying to become a better producer. And I think with live music, I do a lot of things naturally that to adapt and adjust to the environment. So like I use a PA setup and a mixer and speakers and all that kind of stuff. But I don't, like, I will have been using the same equipment for 5 years, yet I won't be able to tell you what the text, what the writing on the speaker might say for each dial or for each button. So I kind of rely on my memory a lot and remembering where everything is rather than what it is or the details or nuances of the technology, which I guess is also limiting in a way, but I've just kind of made it work. Like, I've always just been quite resourceful and like, however I can make it work, I'll make it work.
Yeah, I feel like people with disability are like pretty creative, inventive, adaptable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm curious around touring for you, like as somebody that I imagine it would be potentially hard going into new environments that you're not familiar with or traveling, you know, whether it be in the day or, you know, at night where it would be harder. How do you deal with that?
So it's funny because I would love to do a tour, like especially of Australia. I definitely have felt limited in terms of, because I don't drive, having like figuring out logistics when I can't be fully independent is quite tricky. So ironically, it's easier for me to go over to Europe and go and do some writing sessions overseas than it is for me to tour my own country. So again, it's like adapting to what I can or can't, what I can and can't do. So I would definitely love to tour, but it's always been something that has seemed a bit too far out of reach.
So why is that? Why is Europe easier but not around Australia?
Well, because when I go overseas, I don't need a car. Like, I'm going to be getting in Ubers or catching public transport. Everything's closer together as well, whereas in Australia everything's so far from each other. So it's harder to consider how would I transport my PA, like how would I get to and from the venue? Like all these kinds of things. So especially doing a solo tour has always been out of the question.
So it's all the logistics that are just too complicated. Yeah, right. Is there anything that the music industry you think can do, learn from that or shape for the future?
Yeah, I guess it's quite tricky. I mean, I know that there is grants and funding and things like that, but I'm not sure. Like maybe... Yeah, I don't really know. Hopefully there are initiatives that are going to continue popping up and growing.
Absolutely. I think venues need to think about it, like that we are 20% of the population and that by providing the space for artists to perform and providing the space and, accessible spaces for our audience to come, you're just opening up your doors, you know, to a very large population. So I always like to, you know, share that to the venue because I think sometimes it can feel too big to start tackling accessibility for people with disability.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the little things, little baby steps first.
Exactly.
Can kind of, ease people into the idea.
You do a lot of songwriting and I imagine would be using various technology. I just wondered, is music technology accessible or what can be done, especially for people with low vision or people that are blind?
Yeah, so I use Logic Pro mainly. And I was actually during lockdown, I started getting production tutoring from Melbourne based, tutor and mentor, Dylan Pinkerton. He was honestly amazing. And I approached him saying, I have low vision. I need a tutor who can kind of tailor the lessons to teach me in a way that I can follow properly. And he was seriously incredible. So I can't recommend him enough as a tutor for production, but there's definitely elements as we were going through the lesson, he'd be like, see this tiny little arrow underneath this little number that's like absolutely minuscule, like even zooming in on the laptop, it was still tiny. So I think, obviously, you know, they're very detailed and complex programs, but if there is a way to make things more clear or somehow make it more accessible, that would be amazing. But I don't know if it's we're asking too much from technology.
I don't think so. I think it's time that we start, really looking into making it more accessible for sure. A lot of different musical artists are really needing it.
Yeah.
I'm curious, talking about, I guess, physical barriers, but I'm also really curious about attitudes.
Mm.
I just wondered whether you've ever faced any different attitudes or, pushback or stigma around stating that you have low vision.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is people not understanding, is particularly because I don't use a cane, because I didn't grow up using a cane, and we didn't know I was night blind until I was a teenager. So I don't even know how I didn't break three limbs at a time as a child. But people just not understanding that when I say I have low vision and I try to explain, I can't see at nighttime, people don't fully understand what that means, and people not taking it really into account or thinking about it seriously, or not considering when I say that I can't drive, like what that means in terms of getting to and from a show or whatever it might be. I think there's constantly kind of maneuvering around that and the different attitudes that people have. So again, it's like, how can I adapt to this and still take the opportunity, so it's really nice. Like I have an agency in Sydney who, when they book me for private events, they'll actually put extra money on top of the fee to cover my Uber, because often the other musicians will get their parking covered. So something like that that's small makes such a difference to feel that my disability is considered.
Do you feel like lately it's become more acceptance like around disability? Do you feel that in the industry, or do you feel like there's still a long way to go?
I think it's a mixed bag, really. I think some people are so amazing and they really understand and make space for it and kind of know how to handle it. And then some people are still very uncomfortable with the idea or don't really understand what it's about. So I think it's just like quite based on the individual, but I think there's a lot of movement being made, and even just having things like when applying for opportunities, when they do make space for people, we want someone in this camp or something, that we want someone in this camp who has having a disability is really important.
What about for you though? Do you feel like you're accepting yourself and you feel like proud of being able to speak about it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think I am really proud of how far I've come in the industry and my personal career progress. And hopefully I can have an impact in some way.
Oh, well, you already are. That's definite. Yeah. Well, let's hear another track. What have you chosen for us today?
Demons was my single that came out earlier this year, and it was a really powerful song for me to re-enter kind of my artist project with, and it was very empowering to write. So hopefully people like it.
I'm sure they will.
Tell you that I'm leaving, say I really mean it. Tell you that I dream of better days. Sitting on the benches, I can really sense it. About to go and leave where I could stay. I'm so excited for me, been doing my healing. In the mirror is the person I'm needing. I'm free from it, even if it hurts a little bit. I'm not sleeping with these demons, not anymore, no more. I'm not sleeping with these demons, I'm not what you're looking for.
I'm curious, a lot of people that I have, spoken to about disability and about music or any art form really, a lot say that having a disability shapes and influences their work. I was curious if you feel like it's actually been a positive. How has it added to your work? How has it added, you know, thematically to your lyrics or even just to the way that you sing?
I think having low vision, you know, having one sense dimmed, if you say that, has made me more attuned to emotions and energy and like picking up on that kind of stuff and being very, like, I'm very curious to the emotional experience of other people and like psychology, and I'm really interested in that kind of intangible stuff. So I think that's probably influenced the themes of my music.
So do you feel like by having, you said having low vision, that it feels like almost like that other sense, which is like your ears, do you feel like that is actually more hyper aware?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, I think all my experiences growing up has led me to be more hyper aware of things and, you know, I guess more in tune or more intuitive, which is, I think, it can be really good for creativity. It can also be quite like a burden to feel everything so much.
So, yeah, totally relate to that. When you do a lot of collaboration, you do a lot of co-writing, and some of the artists are, you know, quite big pop stars. Do you let them know that you have a disability, or is it something that you feel is not necessary?
I think only if it's like relevant, you know, if it comes up or if it's relevant to the environment or situation. Otherwise, there's not really a need.
Mm.
Yeah, it just depends.
Just depends. Yeah, nice. So what are you working on at the moment? Any new music?
Well, I feel like through lockdown, I was doing a bunch of online sessions. I've kind of paused my solo releases for the moment. But I am still in sessions with other people, and we'll see what kind of happens next year. There's some co-writes in the pipeline that will be released probably early next year.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining me on Double J, Justine.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.